It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. Thank you for listening to the JR Sport Brief Show. If nobody told you thank you today, let me be the first. I'm only here for one more hour. My apologies. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I hope you've had a great Monday, a good Monday afternoon, a good Monday evening. Hey, I'm going to have fun the rest of the way. And we've had fun since we've been here. Thank you so much to our guests. Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio. He came through to talk to us about John Calipari moving on from Kentucky to the Razorbacks. It's not official yet, but the way this world works, you can probably expect the official word tomorrow. Thank you oh so much to Sam King from the Journal and Courier in Indiana. He covers the Boilermakers. And thank you as well to Dom Amore, who covers UConn for the Hartford Courier. If you believe what they say about start times, the national championship game in Glendale, Arizona, it should be underway in about 19 minutes. Should be. All things considered, I'm looking for a national anthem. I'm looking for pomp and circumstance. I'm waiting for introductions. I'm waiting on all that good stuff. And if they start this game in about 20 minutes from now, I will be pleasantly surprised. Let's see what time they get things going. We know yesterday there was a national champion crowned on the women's side as South Carolina, the Gamecocks, knocked off Iowa. The final score there, 87-75. Dawn Staley wins her third national championship. The Gamecocks go undefeated. Iowa, they lose Caitlin Clark. Next Monday, she's going to be drafted into the WNBA with the Indiana Fever. And so the world goes on. And so we've had a busy, busy show up until now. If you want to participate, you can go ahead and call in. It's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me. I'm online. I'm on the internet all over the place. I am at JR Sport Brief. Before we take a listen to some of the coaches and some of the players from UConn and Purdue, I absolutely, just for my own personal enjoyment, and for hopefully yours too, I need to listen to Coach Callaghan. This man, I feel like he's, I don't want to say a thief or a thief in the night, but it feels like he's leaving like a thief in the night. Talked all this mess about Kentucky and give us a chance and we're going to get things right, only to ultimately leave for Arkansas, another team in the SEC. And so Coach Cal, he was out walking his dog today, walking, pushing the dog in a stroller, whatever the hell you want to call it. And the television cameras were outside his house. They were walking with him down the block. WKYT TV caught up with Coach Cal, pretty much asked him, hey, what the hell's going on? You leaving us? You going to Arkansas? Coach Cal wanted no part of it.
Hey, Coach, you got anything you want to say to your fans?
I'm watching my dog right now.
Anything right now? You
want
to say anything to your fans
right
now?
I'm good. Come on, Paul. Come on. My dog is walking me. Come on.
My dog is walking me. Well, it seems like he's walking a dog. He's following money. He's going wherever the money takes him. Good luck to Coach Cal in Arkansas. I don't think there's going to be much of a difference except for a change in zip code, a change in area code for Coach Cal. Let's actually hear from some coaches that are trying to win something that Coach Cal hasn't done since 2012. Because at the end of tonight, after UConn and Purdue get underway, somebody's going to be a champion. Is it going to be UConn going back-to-back, or is it going to be Matt Painter and the Boilermakers winning their first national championship? Dan Hurley has been rather surly throughout the course of the tournament. He wasn't so much surly when UConn's plane was delayed leaving Connecticut for Arizona, but he has been kind of, you know, upset about their bracket and their draw and the teams they had to play. And he's been full of sass, let's just put it that way. And so after beating Alabama 86-72 and looking forward to Purdue, Dan Hurley has been pretty relaxed. He said that taking on the Boilermakers, says it's a privilege to be in this spot. Listen to this.
Playing certain programs, it's feels like a privilege because of what they stand for, how they do it, and how good they are. So to be able to play the national championship versus Purdue, and how good they are and how Matt runs things, it's a real privilege to play them for the championship.
Well, Matt Painter has been with the Boilermakers for the better part of almost 20 years now. You want to know how many national championships he has? Zero. This is his chance to walk away with his first title. This is Purdue's first chance to walk away with their first title. They haven't been in this spot in about 55 years. Matt Painter says in order for us to go out there and beat UConn, we got to be firing on all cylinders.
There's been some teams that have hung in there with them, and then they've separated from them. And there's been some other teams that have just gotten flat out blitzed. And so it's, you have to be on your P's and Q's. You got to take care of the basketball. You got to be able to rebound. You got to be able to be good in transition.
Oh, you got to go out there and you got to smash them. That's it, right? And who's smashing UConn? The answer is nobody. They smashed Stetson 91-52. They went out there and then they beat Northwestern 75-58. San Diego State in the Sweet 16 beat them 82-52. Illinois 77-52. And Alabama, oh yeah, what a close one this one was, especially late, I'm being sarcastic, 86-72. That doesn't spell like a good omen for the Boilermakers to win their first national championship. And Dan Hurley, he can't lie. He says, yeah, we winning. We beating teams up. It's easy, not easy. Listen to him.
The culture, the preparation, the commitment to every aspect of the game so that we keep ourselves as bulletproof as possible in this tournament, which is hard. We make a hard tournament look easy. It's crazy.
Oh, well, Hickey, at least he's being a little bit more modest now, right? No? A little change since he's touched down in Phoenix a little bit?
I mean, I guess compare. I mean, before when he was saying they're totally bulletproof, now it's mostly bulletproof. It's, I guess you could say, but it's not by much.
Yeah, this is the calm before the storm. If they end up, it depends on what the game looks like tonight. If they end up absolutely destroying Purdue, he's going to be a little bit more modest. If it's a close game, I think we can expect him to be ridiculously arrogant. I hope for a close game because I want him to sweat just a little bit. He's been talking a lot of crap. And at this point, it's like a lot of people. When you get to talking and you get to yapping, you want somebody to, quote unquote, get their comeuppance. You want them to kind of get punched in the mouth. I got not a problem with UConn, Connecticut, or the Huskies. But Coach Hurley is just, like, is it necessary to be brash all of the time? Do you have to play the victim? Are you motivating your team? Do they need the motivation? I mean, who's going to argue if they walk away as champs? But there comes a point in time where it's just like, okay, enough is enough. And whether or not this weekend is just an act, whether he's cursing his guys out in the background to get them hyped and motivated, I think from the public perception or public perspective, we don't need to hear the our backs are up against the wall. I mean, if anything, we can hear that from Purdue. We don't need any more of that. As a matter of fact, let's listen to Matt Painter one more time, coach of the Boilermakers. He says what we all know. They have been steamrolling everybody.
I think the word dominate comes out with UConn, right? They've dominated people. They haven't dominated like the bad teams. They've dominated some great teams. It's easier to study and like look at than it is, you got to be able to do your job. You got to be able to embrace the physicality, keep them out of transition, keep them off the glass, keep them out of their sets and what they want to do. It's easy to watch and understand that, but it's very, very hard to do, and that's our challenge.
Yeah, well, I don't know how close they're going to be. I got UConn winning this one. Is it going to be a 30-point beatdown? I don't think so. Maybe they beat them in that 10 to 15-point range. I know this much. Last year, when they went out there and they smoked San Diego State, what do I call them? Students? Do I call them delinquent? What do I call the people in stores?
Well, the ones that are behaving, we could call students. The ones that were breaking the law and using a victory to their advantage to do some things they shouldn't be doing, definitely delinquents, vandals, criminals.
Ah, yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, wait a minute. They are criminals because they got arrested. This is one thing I hope doesn't happen tonight if the Huskies end up winning. Do everybody in the community, the town, the city, the campus that you pay for, do everybody a favor. Just have a beer. If you're old enough to have a beer, if you're not old enough to have a beer, then drink some water. But just celebrate like a normal person. I don't know. Have some pizza. Slap some high fives. I know that sounds boring, and I certainly don't want to encourage other things on a campus. But celebrate. Have some fun. You don't have to be a delinquent. You don't have to be a criminal. I mean, last year, the UConn fans absolutely lost their minds. I want you to listen to 22 News in Connecticut for a reminder as to what happened last year after UConn won.
UConn campus police are asking for the vandals who damaged the campus Monday night and early Tuesday morning to turn themselves in before their pictures are posted online. A chaotic crowd began climbing on buildings, smashing windows, overturning vehicles, and dismantling lampposts following UConn's victory in the NCAA tournament. Since then, 15 people have been arrested and charged with various crimes. About 30 lampposts were taken down or destroyed, according to the university, totaling an estimated $250,000 in damage. That does not include the cost to repair windows and doors.
Hickey, all things considered, let's just say on the campus they caused about, I don't know, $500,700,000 in damage. Let's just, for heck's sake. What is the purpose? Not that you have experience breaking windows and ripping down light posts, but am I missing something here?
Yes. But no, sorry, you're not missing something because I don't understand it. Like, I'm all for celebrating. I'm all for having a few pops. Like, if you want to even go in a group setting, like in the street, flood the street, just have one shared experience of exuberance, all for it. I just don't get why, like, winning a game would then all of a sudden lead you to be like, you know what, I'm going to flip this car over. Or, you know what, let's just go shatter these windows. And, I mean, especially in Philly, the Philly special, climbing light posts just to sit up there 20 feet above everyone as most likely you're intoxicated doing that. That is one thing I will never understand, that sports motivates people to do that.
So this is a matter of, it's alcohol-induced, right? But even to have alcohol, what's going to make you want to scale a lamppost? Like, I want to take a nap. I don't want to climb a lamppost. This is these are also supposed to be educated people, right? These are supposed to be educated individuals, and they're doing some of the dumbest things. UConn had to threaten them by telling them pretty much, hey, if you don't come forward and admit your wrongdoing, we're going to post your face. And that's what nobody wants, because it's not just going to affect you at the university. It's not just going to affect you on campus. Your face is going to be there for future employers. Alcohol is the great, I don't know. Alcohol screws people up, because to think that you're educated and you're in school and you're there for an education, and now all of a sudden you're going to climb a light post or tear a light post down or rip down a car or break a window. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing better to do in Connecticut than be violent. I don't know. Anyway, I hope that tonight in Connecticut, everybody has their you-know-what together if they win. And this is the unfortunate part. Because of what took place last year, I would assume there's going to be more of an increased police presence. And you know what? All things considered, given where the world is right now and how ridiculous people can be when it's time to celebrate, you know what? Maybe that's not the worst thing in stores. And so as I look at the screen right now, we're at introductions. Hickey, or you think they may start at the 20. They may hit it.
I have a good feeling they will. If you're going to start at 9:20, then you got to start at 9:20. It can't be 9:25, 9:30, 9:40. You want to start it late, boom, 9:20, right on the dot. Let's tip the ball. Let's go.
Yeah, right now we're being subjected to Purdue highlights as they're getting introduced. They're on the bench. We got the highlight package that's rolling on right now. And this is just a cool experience for all of the student-athletes. Like, this is the top-tier treatment. Big introductions, Super Bowl style, and flashing lights, and on set. Everybody in Arizona's losing their mind. All the Boilermaker fans are losing it. And these are the things that this is how the NCAA makes all their money. Hickey, I think I'm wrong. Purdue is being introduced now. UConn hasn't been introduced yet, right?
I don't believe so, no.
Yeah, I don't think this game is starting at 20 what past the
there's
hour.
There's a five-minute buffer.
Five-hour
buffer? 9:25, is that acceptable for you?
It's 5 minutes? For me, I'll take it. I'm just trying to figure out how late I have to be up at night to watch the end of this game.
Well, you get a blowout. You could go to bed at halftime, depending on what the score is.
You're right. Now, let's see what UConn does as they kind of roll them out the building. Let's see. I don't know. Maybe Purdue will keep it close. You know what I hope doesn't happen? I don't want no close game where all of a sudden we're down to like 30 seconds left in a game and it's 12 a.m. on the East Coast and now 30 seconds turns into 30 more real-time minutes. At that point, I may tap out. I'm going to watch, obviously, but I'm going to be very upset and miserable at that point. What was it last week? We saw a game, it was like 2 minutes left, and it ended up being like 45 minutes, it felt like.
Yes. Was it LSU? I think it was LSU-Iowa?
It was LSU, right? And Iowa from last Monday. The game was pretty much already done, and I don't know what the hell they were looking at the end of the game. But it turned into the foul shooting contest, and let's review this, and let's look this up. And it's just like, yo, the game is over. I get it. The last 2 seconds of the game might as well be any other 2 seconds in the game. But come on, man. Let's call a spade, and everybody go home and call it a wrap. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of calling it a wrap, I don't know if you've noticed this over the weekend, but we've had pitchers in Major League Baseball drop like flies. And now everybody has some type of theory as to why this is the case. It's Shane Bieber is hurt, and then you can look at Spencer Strider is hurt. It's just everybody is going down. We'll give you an update as to why Justin Verlander thinks there's so many injuries, and then we'll give you an update on the game. I expect by the time we come back from break that they would have tipped. Maybe. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. We are underway. National championship is here. UConn and Purdue, they got started about 2 minutes ago. So 1 minute, pretty much 1 minute past the actual start time. And as of right now, UConn leads 3-2. Hickey, I give him credit. You were right. They got this one going on time, which would lead me to believe that I will be asleep by midnight. I hope.
Well, thankfully, it's not ESPN. You know, not everyone does business like they do, but they'll give you the fake time. TBS, They say we're tipping now. They'll tip now.
Yeah, ESPN, ABC would have had us sitting around for another 30 minutes watching pregame. Nobody want to watch this pregame stuff. No, thank you. I'll decline. I'll pass. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go ahead and hit the phones up. What do we got here? We got Greg calling from Michigan. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Greg?
Lord have mercy, JR. It's been a while. Mr. Positive. Hey.
It has been a while. You doing okay?
A lot of health issues, my friend. A lot of health issues. Right. No, don't ever get old. Everything hurts. Nothing works.
I'll try my best, but thank you for being here. What's up?
Oh, my God. So much has happened. Yeah. I mean, women, I wish Caitlin won. I'm glad that Carolina won. putting female sports and basketball precisely on the map, and hopefully UConn will win. But here's the thing. Was JR my man at WrestleMania taking a great picture with Cody Rhodes?
No, really? I wasn't at WrestleMania. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. No. Oh, you saw my photo online?
Oh, my God. Fantastic. Wow.
Yeah, no, that was from a couple of years ago. I wasn't at WrestleMania, no.
Oh, my God, JR. I mean, it was.
What happened?
I saw it and I said, wow, my man gets around pretty well, pretty well.
Dude, not now. I gotta sit down and do a radio show. I can't be everywhere, you know?
I hear you. Wow, I don't know where to begin.
Okay.
Well, hey, thanks for taking my call. Sorry to be short and sweet, but I appreciate you, JR, and everybody go for your dreams.
Well, thank you, Greg. Appreciate you for calling from Michigan. No doubt about it. Yeah, I can't be everywhere. I can't be hanging out with Cody Rhodes in Philadelphia and come back to Atlanta, do my show, and go to Cleveland and see the Women's Final Four and then go to Arizona and see. I can't do all of that. As one person. And speaking of a champ, I guess, right? Shout-outs to Cody Rhodes. Good for him. Yeah, WWE is it's jumping. They are making all the money right now. Hickey, you think any of it has to do with the fact that that Vince McMahon guy is gone?
Could have a little bit of a reason why. There's a nice little bump now. That there's some sanity, if you will, returning
sanity.
To the... Oh, I guess I was going to say sport, but that would be an insult to sports. Sanity returning to the production?
Yeah, well, you read some of the accusations against that guy, you would be, I don't even know what to say. I think a lot of people are happy that Vince McMahon is, let's just say, busy doing other things. I think that'd probably be the best idea. And speaking of winning, hey, this one's close so far. Purdue and UConn at 7-all. 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of winning, you can't win unless you're in the game. And I know there's a lot of attention on college basketball right now, the women's side, the men's side. I got to tell you something. Baseball just got started up. I don't know if we're going to have enough healthy players by the time we get to the end of the year. I don't know if we're going to have enough healthy pitchers by the time we get to the end of the year. First of all, Gerrit Cole had to slow down, and they had to go ahead and check the ligament in his elbow for the New York Yankees, and then they said, oh, he might have started the year a little too aggressive. Gerrit Cole has been a workhorse for the better part of six seasons now, and all of a sudden, now he has a problem with his elbow. He's going to start throwing for the New York Yankees. That's good news. There's bad news for a lot of other folks all over Major League Baseball. Spencer Strider, big-time rookie, big-time pitcher last year for the Atlanta Braves, he has a damaged ligament in his elbow. How about earlier today, this afternoon, a matter of fact? Framber Valdez from the Houston Astros, he was scratched from his start today with elbow soreness. Shane Bieber over the weekend with the Guardians, he has a torn elbow ligament, a torn UCL. Yuri Perez from the Marlins, he's done torn ligament in his elbow. And so everybody's trying to figure out, why the hell are the pitchers all dropping like flies? They don't pitch as much. We got players saying that the Players Association actually says that, well, they're the pitch clock and rushing the pitchers has caused these injuries. Major League Baseball says, no, it's not. Gerrit Cole, who's a part of the union, has a big role in the Players Association. Gerrit Cole says, this is like listening to two parents go through a divorce as everybody points the finger as to why pitchers are getting hurt. You want to know somebody else who has an opinion? Well, he's going into the Hall of Fame. It's Justin Verlander, who, might I remind you, is also hurt right now. Justin Verlander pretty much said that, yeah, everything going on, well, it's not good for the sport.
I think the game has changed a lot. I think it'd be easy to sit here and blame the pitch clock. I think in reality, you put everything together, and everything has a little bit of influence. I think the biggest thing is the style of pitching has changed so much. You know, everybody's throwing as hard as they possibly can and spinning the ball as hard as they possibly can. And, you know, it's hard to deny those results, obviously. How can you – it's a double-edged sword. How can you tell somebody to go out there and not do that when they're capable of throwing 100? And you know, this young guy comes up and throws a pitch 95 and gives up a big homer, and everybody's like, what the hell, man? So something needs to change. I don't have all the answers. You know, it's obviously a pandemic, and it's going to take years to work itself out because everybody right now, Little League on, go look no further than Instagram. I can't look at my Instagram feed without seeing, you know, some kids trying to learn how to throw as hard as they can at 10 years old. I sure as hell didn't do that. You know, I didn't figure it out until college. I matured into my body. I was, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Everybody's conditioned to just throw a million miles per hour. They're not taught, like, pitching. Like, growing up, I remember pitching is an art form. Like, watching somebody like Tom Glavine go out there, we no longer have pitchers that are trying to deceive you. We've always had flamethrowers, guys throwing 100 and trying to push the max. Not everybody's going to be Nolan Ryan, by the way. But we had pitchers who would actually say, hey, I'm going to work with my off-speed stuff. I'm going to, you know, paint the black. I'm going to go ahead and try to deceive the hitter. And right now, it's like everything else in sports. Pitching is all or nothing. I'm going to throw the ball by you. I'm going to make you swing and miss. I couldn't even tell you, outside of maybe a couple of guys who throw a sinker ball, are you even looking for contact? No. And the fact that pitchers aren't necessarily looked upon to go 6 and 7 innings anymore, it's like, hey, I'm going out there for my 5 innings, if that. Let me just give it everything I got. And I think that leads to the injuries that we have now. And so baseball has a similar problem, I think, to the NBA, which is like, hey, let's all get threes. And in baseball, it's, hey, you know, let's get home runs or strikeouts. And they have to figure out how to fit in everything else around it. There's not a damn lie told here. Hickey, what do you think, man?
And I'm with you and with Verlander in the sense that, like, there obviously is a problem. And these arm injuries now are to the point where it's, like, it's scary. The amount of money that you're paying star pitchers and then you are afraid to basically have them pitch, in part because everyone is chasing velo. Everyone's chasing spin right now because that's what gets you paid. It's kind of like almost the inverse or I guess the same as a batter, right, where they're getting paid for home runs. Strikeouts don't matter, but if you had 40 home runs, you're going to get a lot of money. But just like Verlander said, there's no solution. And so it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, I think going forward here, it's almost, I would equate starting pitching to almost like an NFL running back in a sense where you need a run game to win, just like you need pitching to win, right? But it comes down to like resource allocation. Is it going to be smart to pay a starting pitcher $25 or $30 million a year when there's a good chance they're going to probably suffer at some point in their long contract an elbow injury that could keep them out for a year, year and a half, 2 years, depending on when they get hurt? It's just like you need starting pitching, but I just don't see going forward, if you're a team, how you could feel good for the most part about giving pitchers these massive deals when there's a real risk of significant injury to the shoulder, and now we're seeing a lot more frequently the elbow.
Yeah, and we've reached a point now where it's I'm surprised when I read about a prospect, and I'm talking about prospects, of course, in baseball. Sometimes they feel old as dirt. Yeah, I feel shocked sometimes when you hear about a new pitcher and he hasn't had Tommy John. I feel like half the damn pitchers who are rookies in the league, been around for 1 or 2 or 3 seasons, it's like, oh, yeah, back when he was 19 and 20 and 21 years old, he already had Tommy John surgery. And it's just like, well, maybe there's something wrong going even down to the lower level. You just heard Justin Verlander say that there's kids out here throwing gas before their bodies are even fully developed. Look, we can have all of our athletes in every sport be bigger and faster and stronger as they are adults. But what's going on in the actual development of our youth that by the time they continue to elevate, and sure, everybody isn't going to be a pro, but by the time these guys are pros, they're making all this money, and they're fragile. It's like they're falling apart at the seams. And so baseball's issue with pitching, Verlander said the right thing, and he's – I wish he wasn't right. It's going to take years to correct, because the only way it's fixed is if there's a trickle-down where Major League Baseball de-emphasizes pitchers trying to throw the ball through the backstop, where it trickles down into college and trickles down from college into high school, down the Little League, where it's just like, look, let's actually teach the art of pitching before we tell these kids – who only a small percentage will be pro, hey, like learn to actually work instead of going forward and just throwing all this gas. Hey, Marco Belletti is back with us tonight. Marco, what do you think about all these arm injuries, man?
I'm with Hickey, and I think he hit it right on the head with this is going to be the equivalent to NFL running backs. There's no coming back from this. I'm sorry. Verlander's right in the fact that it would take years, but it would take everybody. You just said the art form of pitching. No one in this world is going to go backwards and say, 92, put a little on, take a little off, be a crafty pitcher, and that will get you paid? It won't. It won't even keep you on a roster. Baseball has changed. They want guys that throw hard. They want guys that can give you max effort. And if they give you 4 or 5 innings, so be it. In the bullpen, guys are going to come out throwing even harder, and they're going to go one inning at a time. The game has changed. It has evolved. And unfortunately for all these pitchers that thought that velocity was going to be the ticket to the major leagues. It might be, but the problem is it's going to be the ticket to you taking yourself right out of the big money and taking yourself out of the equation of what's important in baseball. You're just another body that they can rotate through because everybody throws the same. And that's where we've gotten to. It's a shame. It's scary, but I don't think it's coming back. I think owners and Major League Baseball are starting to realize we can cycle through guys. Throwing 100 is not Nolan Ryan where it's the, oh, man, we can't find this anywhere. We find it everywhere. You just can't do it sustainably for a long period of time. They don't care. Now they don't have to pay you for a long period of time. This is perfect for baseball, and it's sad for the players.
Yeah, let's see what this looks like financially. I mean, we've seen the money that starting pitchers get right now. Yamamoto getting $325 over, what, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
It just... It makes no sense. The guy hasn't even thrown a pitch in Major League Baseball, and they give him that big of a deal and that big of a contract. Let's see if they slow down. We saw Blake Snell, someone who just won a Cy Young, have to wait until pretty much 1 week left or less in spring training before he got a deal in the contract. And so maybe the owners have started to talk and speak already. Here, we can put another note down in the very odd, and I say odd with the kindest of sense, financial situation in Major League Baseball. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. When we come back from break, yeah, we'll talk about something that took place, a few things that took place this day in sports history. But today, we're getting ready to crown a national champion on the men's college basketball side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You just heard from Clark Kellogg. He's pretty busy right now. Purdue and UConn are all tied up at 21 all. About 8 minutes and change to go here in the first half of the game. And so we certainly have a close one to start when you dive a little bit deeper and you take a look at the numbers here, at least at the onset. Zach Edey already has 14 points. He is 6 of 8 from the field to go along with 3 rebounds. And he's a little bit active on the defensive end as well. He's already blocked 3 shots. And so Zach Edey is... trying to make himself known. Hickey, if Zach Edey puts up one of these game-changer type games, world-changing games, I would love to say that this was going to change his draft status or stock, and maybe it will. I don't think there's anything that he could do tonight that's ultimately going to change people's perceptions of what he can do or possibly end up being in the NBA. So he might as well ball out and win a championship. This might be as good as it's going to get.
I'm with you. It's such a different game, and I believe it was Sam King we had on earlier in the show that was kind of mentioned the same thing. It's just like, or maybe it was Dom Amore. Like, the game is so different, this game right now versus what he's going to face in the NBA, whether he goes for 40 points and 25 rebounds, I'm with you. I don't think he now is going to get a big draft boost because his game is still going to translate the same way whether he plays great or poorly tonight at the NBA level.
Yes, Sam King did say that. He said, look, if he gets 10 minutes a night in the NBA, then that's man, that's a stretch. If you're getting 10 games a night in the NBA as a backup center, there's a good chance that you ain't playing consistently. There's a good chance that you won't have a long career because if you're only playing 10 minutes, they're going to find somebody who can rip and run and do a little bit more than you can. And so congratulations to Zach Edey so far whooping ass tonight. The score is 23-all here in the first half, a little less than 7 minutes. Zach Edey already with 14 points. Before we roll out of here, I do want to tell you about some amazing things that happened this day in sports. That means April 8th. We can go back to 1974, and we can think about hammering Hank Aaron. He hit his 715th home run against the Los Angeles Dodgers. They won 7-4. He knocked it in the fourth inning off Al Downing, passing Babe Ruth for the most home runs all time. That took place this day, April 8th, 1974. Let's go back into the time machine and listen to that call.
Once again, a standing ovation for Henry Aaron. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
Yeah, one of my favorite announcers of all time. Crazy enough to have heard him as well growing up. That was the voice of Vin Scully. That's not the only thing that took place this day in sports history. We can go back just a little bit closer to 2001. Tiger Woods, who's going to try to pick up a Masters victory this week, his first since 2019. I don't know if he's going to have luck doing that with all the surgeries and such. In 2001, Tiger Woods picked up his Masters victory, but in the process of it, he won a slam. Consecutively won the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, the Open Championship. This is before the world knew about some of Tiger Woods and his issues. Let's listen to him complete the Tiger Slam, courtesy of CBS.
We've known for 8 months that this is going to be approached as the week of the Tiger Slam.
There it is, as grand as it gets.
What a way to cap it off. Perfect speed, perfect line.
And Tiger has his slam.
Something I never dreamt that I would ever see or ever thought that anyone could ever do. I think it's the greatest feat I've ever known in all of sports.
You know, maybe it's me. I hear Tiger slam now and I just think of other things. Hickey, this guy doesn't know what else to do. He's just... I mean, he can still go play, but he's broken at this point of life, right? I mean, what is he doing?
Great question. What is he doing? I don't know. I mean, he clearly, right, has nothing left to prove. So it's not like he's playing for, you know, pride or to show people that he could still do it. I mean, I guess at this point, is it just for the love of the game? Which, if that's the case, it's still not a bad way to make a living.
It's not. He just sounds like he's in a lot of pain. Anyway, let's get this in here as well. Back in 2013, Louisville, they won a national championship. Rick Pitino took the Wildcats in, 96? And then he was able to come back and win with Louisville back in 2013. Let's go ahead and listen to that. Not that far ago, courtesy as well of CBS.
How about Louisville? Down 12, second half, Wichita State comes back to win it. Down 12, first half tonight to Michigan. And now three, just a second away from the school's third all-time national championship. 80-86 under Denny Crum, and now Patino. And that will do it as Louisville completes the emotional journey to the championship.
Damn, Jim Nance is... Hickey, Jim Nance is just the voice of everything, huh? Just voice and everything.
Spring is his time.
Yeah, now he's starting to wind things down, I guess. He just wants to call the Masters now? Is that what he's doing?
Masters and NFL. He's really pared down his workload.
Yeah, I mean, after a million years, just stay home, I guess. I don't know. Hey, shout-outs to Jim Nance, the voice of everything. Listen, folks, the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio, it's basically done. I got to shut up and leave, okay? I'll be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Right now, as I stare at the screen in the studio, UConn leads Purdue, but barely, 26-25. Only about 5 minutes to go here in the first half. If you've missed a minute of the show, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to Matt Jones for joining us, Sam King, Dom Amore. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. I'm done. I'm gone. But don't leave here on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Because I said so. Bart Winkler's coming up next. Say thank you, Hickey.